This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. This is episode 155 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and had a bit of a frantic night as the city decided to take all of the lanes of traffic and put them into one because they're street sweeping for our Democratic National Convention next week.
Oh, got to tidy up the place, right?
We've got to tidy up the place. So, yeah, bit of a long drive home this evening. But we got a good show ahead of us today, Max. We're going to talk about the new Stingray, the MQ-25. I get excited when the words Star Wars and drones are combined. Amazon patents a special drone housing in the sky. Customs and Border Protection are looking for what to use their drones for. Some other things like our can't fix stupid files and some listener mail and a video of the week. Oh, and don't forget, Facebook wants your drones to glow. So with that, I guess we should get started. Well, our first story this week is U.S. Navy carries out MQ-25 aerial refueling surrogate testing. This is from flightglobal.com. What's an MQ-25? Well, the MQ-25 is going to be the production version of the X-47B, our flying wing drone that takes off and lands on aircraft carriers and is able to be air-to-air refuel and become an air-to-air refueler. Well, that program now, what was formerly known as CBARS, which was the carrier-based aerial refueler, is now given an official military designation, which is MQ-25, and the name of it is the Stingray.
Now, David, does MQ have any specific significance?
Well, all drones are Qs. The second letter is actually the primary, so it's a drone. All drones, like MQ-9 and MQ-1, Q has always been drones or unmanned aerial vehicles. Now, they also use Q for fast or the full-size aerial targets, which is like the QF-16s. In that case, it's a prefix. In this case, Q for drone, it's the primary thing. M stands for special operations. Most aircraft, when they get an M designation, they're a special operations aircraft. In the case of the RQ-1, which was the original Predator drone, it was Reconnaissance Drone 1. When it was weaponized, it became an MQ-1. So in this case, there's a potential for it to be weaponized, so they're giving it the MQ designation. Instead of originally they were going to call it a CQ, which was cargo sort of, or a KQ, which would have been which all of our tankers, because of kerosene, are labeled K.
Oh, that's where the K in the tanker designation. Boy, this is something I never knew how this worked, David.
And of course, it's the 25th drone that the government's given a designation for. Now, suffixes are the letters after the number, and that's the variants. So you start off with A, B, C, D. So eventually it will be known as an MQ-25A, or if it gets another variant, it'll be a B. So that's where we go. The MQ-25 is going to be larger than the X-47B, and part of the article is that you're talking about surrogates, meaning that aircraft that are acting like the drone but are not the drone. In the case of the X-47, they used a Learjet. Well, the MQ-25 is going to be bigger, so they are currently using a Gulfstream to simulate the drone and aerial refueling. And aerial refueling from the drone will be on a pylon using what they call a buddy pack. Most aerial refueling in the Navy is done by a buddy packed equipped aircraft. In this case, usually it's an F-18F or an F-18E with lots and lots of gas and a centerline buddy pack that has a drogue for the probe and drogue system. So, we'll keep watching for the MQ-25. Stingray is a good name for a flying wing naval aircraft, in my opinion.
It's perfect.
And initial operational capability is 2021, and they want to have prototypes flying by 2017 for the fly-off, which really doesn't seem that far away. So,
No. It's fairly soon in terms of putting together prototypes, but maybe those who would offer up a prototype for the fly-off are already working or have been working on this for some time, probably.
Well, I think Northrop Grumman has got the lead on this one because they're the one that created the X-47. So
right.
So let's move on to Star Wars drones you can fight in your backyard, and this was from our Slack team member Ken. And, of course, the word Star Wars and the words drone in the same sentence gets me all hot and bothered.
Got your attention, huh?
So, Propel is making X-Wings, Millennium Falcon, TIE Fighters, and speeder bikes as quadcopters. This is kind of cool. I like the fact that the quads all have clear props, so you can't tell they're quadcopters.
Yeah, when they're flying, I guess, with those clear props, they sort of disappear, and you're left to look at the model of the X-Wing or the TIE Fighter or whatever it is. I imagine these are going to be pretty popular, but these things have lasers or something attached to them, David?
Well, they're Star Wars. Everything has lasers attached to them.
I guess so.
But in reality, they actually do have laser. I don't know, Max, if you remember, but for a while there was a fad game called Laser Tag.
Yes, of course.
Where you shot your guy, and basically if you got hit, then your system would shut off and you would be dead. Well, actually, these quadcopters are equipped with lasers, so you can dogfight them, and after three hits, they become disabled. Now, I'm hoping that means that it basically lands on the ground.
Yes.
because the unit cost of each one of these is starting at $300. So I'm assuming the Millennium Falcon is more like $500. So I don't really, if somebody actually gets three hits on my Millennium Falcon, I really don't want it to suddenly fall out of the sky and have. So they didn't really talk about how they get disabled, but I'd like to know how that works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's a good thing that the simulation ends right there after the third hit. Are these things going to be available that we can buy them sometime soon, do you know?
No, they're not licensed yet to be sold in the United States. I think that's probably because they're hoping by Christmas, but we'll see. You're talking about an aircraft that the FAA calls an aircraft that's carrying a laser beam. It's anti everything the FAA stands for, so we'll see if this actually works.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. You could end up with some nut flying his Millennium Falcon up to an airliner, flashing its lasers at the Boeing or the Airbus, and yeah, we certainly don't need more of that going on.
So as I said in our show notes, unfortunately, if you want one of these right now, you're going to have to smuggle your Falcon to the United States and use Han Solo. But pretty cool. And thanks to Ken for bringing that up. And, you know, anytime anyone wants to send me a Star Wars story, I'm going to put it in the show notes because Star Wars makes me happy. So why don't you take the next one, Max?
This is from SUAS News. Amazon patents special drone housing in the sky. Well, Amazon has been awarded a patent, a flight deck, if you will, that a small UAS can land on. And the idea is that these could be attached to things like
oh, street lamps or telephone poles or buildings or steeples or, you know, anything like that. It's a patent that was actually filed a long time ago. It was filed in December 2014, but the U.S. Patent Trademark Office just issued the patent to them. The abstract describes some of the capabilities that Amazon might imagine for this housing for drones. They talk about things like multi-use UAV docking stations. They talk about these docking stations being networked so that a variety of services could be provided to the drones via this network.
Well, and of course, they're docks, meaning that for recharging and or refueling. The networking thing is kind of interesting because the implication, and the abstract says this, is their navigation aids. Your delivery drone will fly from dock to dock to dock. It may not necessarily land, but that's its waypoints to do your delivery. So that's kind of cool. And routing information so that you're not sending the information directly to the drone. You're using these as uplinks. This is going back to the 50s and using ground control intercept technology, you know, like the Russians. You know, the pilot in the MiG-15 never flew. He only flew what the guys on the ground told him. So this is sort of going back to those days, you know, where you have each tower, you are to fly to the next tower, and then at that point you'll get your command to go deliver your package.
Now, we'll put a link to the patent in the show notes, if you're really hardcore. I'll tell you, though, reading patents is quite a chore, but it's there if you're interested in it. And as always, someone filing a patent and someone being awarded a patent doesn't necessarily mean that they're ever going to build it, but they would seem at this point to own, they being Amazon, would seem to own the intellectual property associated with providing this kind of a platform for UAVs to land. They may use it themselves. They may not. They may license the idea to others who might use this kind of a concept. It's really hard to say. In fact, it's impossible to say right now how this would be used and by who or when or even if.
But it's cool.
It is cool.
So the next story on our list is really just an opinion piece. Why drones may save aviation. And this is, it's a very short piece. It was from HuffPost.com. And it kind of continues our conversation about drones being a gateway drug to general aviation. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, we've kind of run across this notion from different people at different times. And it has a certain appeal to it, which is that we need more pilots. We need more manned aviation professionals because the numbers have been going down, and airlines need are projected to need just more and more pilots. So how do you get people interested in aviation? Well, one idea is through drones. If you get people interested, especially youngsters, interested in flying drones, and that may sort of spark their interest in aviation more broadly, and that could in effect become, as David says, the gateway drug to aviation, to general aviation.
One of the calls to action in the article, he does talk about the early 80s and the VHS revolution and how the movie industry fought so long because they figured VHS was going to ruin the movie industry. And little did they know that VHS helped the movie industry and revitalized it. So he's comparing that to general aviation. Maybe need to start embracing UAVs and instead of fighting against it, because it might actually be beneficial to them in the long run. So I thought that was a good analogy.
And we're seeing more and more groups like the EAA and AOPA and others start to embrace them. In fact, I understand, David, at Air Venture this year, they'll have another a drone cage set up.
Evidently it was successful last year because they're doing it again this year. And what the drone cage is EAA or Air Venture, Oshkosh, is the largest general aviation event in the world, you know, and general aviation pilots, and we know quite a few of them, are very leery of quadcopters flying through their front windscreens. And this was a way for them to get familiar with UAVs and UAV operations and become a partner to integrate, you know, into the national airspace. So EAA is taking the lead now. The Experimental Aircraft Association, if you don't know, is taking the lead and trying to get our general aviation folks and our drone people together, have a conversation and move forward together, which is a really good thing.
Yes.
And the riot, why it's a really good thing, because you can't fix stupid. And this is this is our weekly, your grounded file. In this case, this guy is really grounded. This was from the Washington Times. California makes first arrest for drone flight over wildfire. Eric Warner, 57 years old, was charged with hampering firefighting efforts. California Cal Fire, who heads all of the wildfire air-to-air tankers and firefighting resources, pulled back a bunch of air tanker resources on June 28th over the Trailhead fire because Eric, Mr. Warner, was flying his quadcopter over the fire and taking pretty pictures. Now, that's stupid, but and I'll let Max tell him how he got caught.
Well, he kind of outed himself because he posted on YouTube the videos that he had taken of this wildfire. Authorities saw that, recognized that this is the wildfire that
we couldn't fight.
That they couldn't fight. And so they had the guy. Now, this is going to be interesting to watch what happens next, because he could be subject to fines from the FAA of up to $27,500 and maybe even jail time. Now, I don't know. What do you think, David? I mean, this first offense, kind of a new thing. You think they're going to throw the book at him, or you think they'll...
You know my opinion. My opinion is throw his butt in the jail and slap him with the maximum.
Yeah, but do you think the judge will actually do that?
This is a serious... I mean, the article equates this to parking your semi-truck in front of the fire department so they can't get out, which I thought was an interesting analogy, because everybody understands that anybody who did that should get their ass thrown in jail. And, okay, not getting allowing your fire trucks to get out is expensive, you know, but air-to-air firefighting equipment, when you're talking about jet aircrafts with thousands of gallons of fuel and the amount of time, money, and effort it requires to do a fire strike, yeah, this guy needs to, I hate to say be made an example, but somebody eventually has to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can hope for that. I just wonder if that's what's going to happen. Seemingly for this, you know, first instance of an arrest, the judge may go easy. I don't know. I guess it depends on who gets assigned this case. But I think the more publicity this gets, the better, you know, we all are. We have to stop bad flying like this. And so, yeah, I'm hopeful that this will set an example.
And, of course, we can't go a week without DJI doing something. And believe it or not, their answer to fixing stupid is geofencing. And we talked about their real-time blocking that you could subscribe to, the Airgo. And now they're updating it with, they're going to geo-block wildfires. The Department of Interior will give them real-time data, and they'll be able to provide anyone who's flying a Phantom or an Inspire real-time data and geo-lock wildfires so they can't fly over it. And, of course, there is a way to unlock it, but by doing so, you're telling DJI that you're unlocking it. And this is supposedly so that firefighters and or wildfire management teams and stuff can use them for purposes. But should you unlock the geofence, there's going to be a record of it, and DJI can provide that to the authorities to show that, yeah, well, that phantom belonged to that person, and they purposely turned it off to be able to fly that mission.
I think DJI is doing a really intelligent thing here, because it's one thing to geofence permanent restrictions, but when you have areas that are really under temporary restriction, like for a wildfire, that's a bigger challenge because you have to have the real-time updates. So I'm really happy to see DJI providing this kind of capability. I think that's excellent corporate responsibility.
Okay. Well, we've always been talking about us being behind the times.
But we've screamed ahead.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, Teal Group is Richard Abulafia, and we have a lot of respect for Richard.
And others.
But Flight Global says, report claims small UAV ruling places USA ahead of Europe. Hard to believe.
Of course, they're talking about the Part 107 rules that are coming in August. And Teal Group does a lot of great analysis. This is industrial grade kinds of analysis. So these are not the kinds of reports that you or I, David, might go out and purchase. But if you're a corporation or have a significant business in the aviation arena, and specifically in the UAV arena, here, Teal Group is an excellent source for that kind of information and data. And they pointed out that now that there's this rule coming from the FAA, they say that the United States is, quote, putting pressure on Europe to come up with its own set of regulations. And I think they note that while many European countries have country-specific regulations, there's no EU-wide or European-wide set of common regulations. And here we have something from the FAA that I think is maybe a pretty good model for other countries to consider implementing.
And we know currently Europe has got a bit of they're on their mind with Brexit, that we're going to go in there, but it's nice to know that we're actually, I would be happy with on par, the fact that Teal Group is saying that we're ahead of the game. Let's lead the world, I mean, or at least work with the world to get everybody on board. You know, we felt so behind with Australia and Canada, and over the last couple of months or even the last year or so, we felt like we were lagging behind. But I guess the tortoise wins the race. We were being very slow and deliberate, but we seem to have got it done. Now, the next story is very colorful. What do you think, Max?
That's clever, David. This is from TechCrunch. Facebook wants to use fluorescence to make its laser drones work better.
This is just weird. I read this and all I could think of was blacklight.
It is kind of difficult to imagine the technology here, but this is about Project Aquila, which is something that we've talked about before in the past. Project Aquila, you may recall, is the idea where you use fixed-wing drones to provide internet access in remote locations, places where they don't have internet access now. Why does Facebook want to do that? Well, if you're on the internet, Facebook wants to be your friend. So Facebook and internet.org are working together on this project. And part of the technology is that they use laser beams to transmit data. But there can be a problem with that. It's called twinkling.
And twinkling is what happens when your laser goes through the atmosphere. You know, when anyone who's ever seen a laser experiment, how do you see the laser? You pump in dry ice or smoke so you can see it. Also, if you look at it, it sort of flares. And basically, when you're sending data through a laser, and I can't believe that I really understand this stuff, but
I'm impressed, David.
You want the laser to be focused and direct. If it's not focused and direct, you're getting it, and it's twinkling, you're getting a disruption in your data stream, and you're going to get pixelation or whatever, or a disruption of your data. So you want a perfectly straight stream with no deviation or fractalization. Excuse me. So this is where the dyes come in for the fluorescence. Each dye gives a different wavelength, and if it hits it, it doesn't cause the it reduces the twinkling effect. So what you get is lots and lots of colors for them to send the data through.
Boy, the historian came through on this one. Way to go, David. So I think
Lasers go with Star Wars. You know, growing up as a kid, I liked lasers.
The thing that impresses me about this, the impression that I'm left with this, is that this is kind of another example of the technology advances that come through when you start up a new technology like drones, when you start up a new industry. And we've certainly seen lots of innovation, lots of research, lots of new things being developed and created. Here's another one of them. I think that there are probably a lot more of those out there, David, that we can't even imagine right now.
But that's okay. That gives us something to talk about every week.
It does. It does.
Max, what about the Border Patrol?
The Border Patrol. We have an article in Federal Times. Border Patrol calls on Silicon Valley for advice on small drones. This is kind of interesting. The DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is looking for new ways they can use UAVs to accomplish their mission, specifically with Customs and Border Protection. And they've got a call for, proposals, David, studies? What would you call it?
I would call it an OTS, an other transaction solicitation. I kind of like this. I like the term OTS. Basically, OTS is a way for the Department of Homeland Security to skirt around how long it takes to give money to people so they can do something. In this case, they've got an OTS out there to give away grants of $50,000 to $200,000 to study three main objectives. One, user interfaces for effective communication and enhanced immediacy for a reaction. Basically, they want to be able to act on the information the drone comes through. Sensors to improve situational awareness and the ability to track multiple targets. That's big, using one drone to be able to monitor multiple activities. And last but not least, platform security. Improvement of the UAS's self-defense capabilities. Now, that could be physical or that could be electronic. Basically, disruption of, jamming the signal for the UAV. We don't want the bad guys to do that for our good guys. So those three studies have three objectives, and you can apply for a grant, and it's a very, very strict process. You have to provide results within a short amount of time, and you can get up to $50,000 or $200,000. You think, Max, that they would want to fork over maybe 50 grand for two guys that talk about drones every week?
Not if that's all that they do, but if they can come up with a study that addresses those three objectives you mentioned, well, maybe. So we'll have a link to the solicitation in the show notes if you want to take a look at that, then maybe applying for some of this grant money.
Let's talk about our video of the week. And this came from listener Todd. And this is from where he said, it's a small town, about 5,500 people near where I live in Iowa. Drone helps rescue of stranded boaters near Algona.
Algona?
Algona.
I guess.
Todd, forgive us if we're pronouncing that wrong. A man and his 10-year-old granddaughter were rescued after a Phantom 4 was used to locate the stranded boaters. To use Phantom 4, it took 3.5 minutes to find the two boaters. And basically, this is the video of the drone finding the boaters, which, but hashtag drones for good.
Absolutely. And I guess from the article, it sounds like they had mobilized a lot of resources to try to find these two folks. who had gone missing. A good example of search and rescue with drones. Sometimes when we've seen these in the past, they haven't been so successful. So it's nice to see a great success story here. So we want to thank Todd for passing that along to us.
So with that, I think we should wrap this show up.
So we want to thank all of you for listening to the UAV Digest. This has been episode 155. You can find our website at theuavdigest.com. If you want to go straight to the show notes for this episode, they're at theuavdigest.com/155.
And of course, you ask, how can we help Max and David? Well, you can retweet our stuff at UAV Digest. Of course, we want you to become part of our listener team, which is theuavdigest.com/team, and we'll send you a link. It's a closed group, but a fun group, and a lot of new news stories, a lot of things going on, so we want you to join there. Of course, you can join the conversation, facebook.com/theuavdigest. Send us links or news or feedback to feedback@theuavdigest.com. And, of course, leave a review at iTunes or Stitcher so other people can find us. You can purchase swag at our Cafe Press store. And if you want to donate to us and help us financially, the money stays and we use it for things like rewards and other things. We're not putting it in our pockets. That would be our Patreon, our patrons. We always appreciate them at patreon.com/theuavdigest. So with that, I'll say this is David in the home of the Democratic National Convention for the next week, otherwise known as Philly.
Good luck. And this is Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.